Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 8th of August, 2019, Thursday class. We are at Brother and Sister Padmasri's house. Also, I was told today is the first day of autumn for the year. In Mandarin, what you call? Qiu what? Li Qiu. Okay, so we will now get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall develop the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajjaya Moni Pho. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that and turn to page 1. We will chant the Vandana onwards. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dhatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dhatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamatangsina Tiloka dipang sambutang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami bunindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivase tunobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang adivase tunobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang adivase tunobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect. Triple J. Bhadang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we are off the light. And you can have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. Most of us are here before, so you can straight away develop your meditation. Just relax body and mind, and allow whatever thinking to slow down. For those who still need to train your mind, you can just continue. For those who already know how to meditate, you just do what you understand. And the other one is, if you already have the spiritual faculty, you don't really need to train. Means your mind is already in sati. So just let things be, silent everything. Then the mind will return to its original state of inner peace, inner awareness within. Then after that, you maintain that clarity of mind which is peaceful, aware and silent to develop the meditation and the understanding. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And turn to page 6. We shall chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chokawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Yo bhagava Arahaṃ sammasambuddho Vicca-caraṇa-sampanno Sukato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanaṃ Buddho bhagavati Svakato bhagavata dhammo Sandhitiko akaliko Ehipaseko oppanayiko Pachatang veditabbo vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yokani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali karaniyo anutarang punyaketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us be respectful. Bedang pujami damang pujami sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. and we'll continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting. Followed by whatever question you may have. Where is the mic? Oh, there. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question, you just have to raise your hand. Don't on yet. Well, once you face the speaker, it will be very strong, the voice, sharp. Anybody? Ah, yeah, okay. Angie, yeah, Sadhguru, yeah. Ah, oh, don't point there. It's okay. Yeah. As long as you point other place, it's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Brother. Yeah. I have a better vision about, you know, the and clearer practice.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of seeing the.
Never mind. Yeah. You just continue. Okay. Just
in terms of seeing the any, you know, any, if there's any conflict
yeah.
or any thoughts that's running.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's more awareness.
That's very good.
And also throughout the day, you know, try to bring back, you know, and like. Observe.
Yeah, that one is very important. Yeah. So every time, if you are mindful within, you will see your mind. Yeah? If it has wander off, you remember to bring it back. That is the most important understanding of cultivation to develop this daily mindfulness. That's why I use this very strong word. I said, you must have strong intention to be ever mindful. Determined to be ever mindful. Means constantly aware throughout the day. The moment you are not aware, you must know. The moment you are not aware, you must know. Actually, the moment you are aware that you are not aware, that is the sati. Krishnamurti put it in another way. He used another word. Attention of inattention is attention. You understand? When you are not paying attention, then you realize you are not paying attention. That itself is attention. The moment you realize you are not paying attention, that moment is attention. So to him, attention is aware at the moment. If you are not aware, you are lost in thought. So daily mindfulness is initially reminding yourself to be aware, determined to be aware. Then everything you do, you just develop it. After you develop until it becomes very stable, you don't have to do anything other. Then you realize all of a sudden, all this external sense data or whatever that comes in from the phenomenal world, your mindfulness is different now. It is so clear, so sharp. It can pick them all up. Then your internal movement, emotion or stirring of mind or reaction or what, you can see them. And you're very sensitive. Then it's like you will not do it anymore. Because you are aware of all this movement. Then you realize after reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, you realize all this is heedlessness. If I don't react, I don't stir, I'm at peace. Why do I relax? Why do I react? I react because I don't have wisdom, I don't have understanding, I don't have right view. I cannot accept the reality of the moment. I do not have the understanding that people is just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. But when I develop this understanding, then I realize this is what the Buddha meant by right view, learning to see things as they are. to be at peace with the moment means you don't have to stir, you don't have to react. You are everything follow nature's law. You just have to accord and flow. Then you realize your mind is more and more equanimous, more and more peaceful, less chattering, less reaction, less stirring. This is what Yoniso Manasikara is all about. When you have that understanding, the next time you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or even think of something, straight away, the mind is different. The mind that is not trained without the initial wisdom will react and stir very fast. Your habitual tendency come in very fast. Your views, your opinion, you tend to become agitated very fast. And most of the time, you like to express your opinion, argue, right and wrong, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. All this duality keep on arising. But when you have developed the understanding, the mindfulness, the stability of sati, you become different. You have the understanding that you can really see things differently. Then you do not react, spur and respond like before. Your mind is more calm, more peaceful, more quiet. There is more understanding leading to equanimity of mind. Yeah. Then there is more joy inside you. Yeah. The agitation of that unhappiness, then you will also not like normal people, easily get excited or panic or fearful, no more. Because you will start to understand the form of mind clearly. Who are you? What are you? What is this consciousness all about? How did the content went in that caused the mundane mind to arise? And the mundane mind goes the way of nature. It's impermanent. It comes and it goes, it arises and it passes away. But if you are deluded, it will have power over you. Then it will condition you to stir your mind, to react to sense experience. And it will create the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, especially selfishness, sakkayadhiti, self-delusion. So like what you tried to explain just now, you are more clear about the practice because you are more sensitive now. But what you are doing is an improvement, but it's still not the real sati. When your sati become very stable, when you can be mindful and aware in the midst of life, that stage will be even more beautiful. Not only you can be aware of all these things, but at that moment when it arises, that understanding will prompt you. Yoniso Manasikara will come out. Then you can see clearly your mental intention, even the very subtle one that try to like justify, explain, and like create that movement through the back door. So the thought is very cunning. Initially, it will tell you, this is greed. You no more greed. But then you cannot see the fine and the subtle one inside there, because that one is still the thought. As long as the thought is active, the egoic mind is still there, unless you have awakened. So that stage of daily mindfulness, when it becomes very stable, is very different. That's why I always say the real meditation only starts when your daily mindfulness has stabilized. That one is really true. So it's already a good progress, but continue to stabilize your daily mindfulness. Once you are able to stabilize that daily mindfulness, then you will be very surprised. One day, all of a sudden, you realize everything you do, your awareness and the phenomena move as one. Even all the physical movement and activity, you realize like the awareness and this activity of your physical body, they move together. Then when you look at things, it's like there is a phenomenon moving together with your awareness. We call it specific phenomenal awareness. Even the moving car, the awareness and that thing just move. Yeah. Then the tree, when you look the movement, if there is any sway or wind movement or what, your mind will be with it, the awareness will be with it. Yeah. Then every activity, every phenomenon within the phenomenal world, you start to see them. You only need to be silent. Then all this movement and activity, you can see them. Even nature's phenomena, you can see them. That's why truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Because within your field of awareness, you can see them. So the seeing consciousness is one aspect of the seeing. But the hearing consciousness is also same. Your awareness can be aware of all the vibration and everything. Then when it's aware, it's just that thing. Like your awareness and that thing as one. Then when you look at the art or whatever, it's just that thing. The mind doesn't come in and interfere. The views, the opinion, the memory, the conditioning, that one all don't come out. You can just be with it. If you want to know what that thing is, you can perceive it through memory, no problem. But after that, it stops. It doesn't proliferate. It doesn't continue. So that is the deeper aspect of the training, the cultivation. Yeah. But to see that, your daily mindfulness has to be very stable. Very stable. So if you have the faith, a good religious routine, then you can do it. It's not difficult. Well, that religious routine will take you through. That routine is like throughout the day you cultivate this mindfulness. Yeah. So I have shared with you before the religious routine. A good religious routine is what I did during my early days of cultivation. I make it a point. Every day before I sleep, I will pay respect to Triple Gem. I will meditate. Yeah. Then after that, I share merit, read the metta, then make the aspiration. Then after that, I mindfully arise. Then I go and sleep. Then when I sleep, I maintain awareness until the body goes into the sleeping mode. But later on, when your mindfulness is so stable, the body can go into the sleeping mode. Your awareness also go in, fully aware. And it can be aware of all the subtle movement of mind when you are within the sleeping mode. The awareness is aware how the subconscious release, the unconscious release, how your mind about to enter the unconscious. Then you can hear your own snoring and all those things. Yeah. Then later on, even the subconscious and unconscious release become dream. You can see them. You can see and you know you are dreaming. The mundane mind is dreaming. Then later on, all this become less and less, less and less. Then like you hardly sleep. It's like you never really sleep. I think I shared it in one of the short notes, isn't it? Which day was it? Outline short note. Anybody can remember? You all never read them. I check and see. Was it the last Thursday? Is it the 1st of August? It's either the last Thursday or the previous Thursday. Ah, yeah, the last Tuesday. Ah, last Thursday, sorry. I think note number 7. You have the phone, you can turn to the outline short note for 1st of August. The note number 7. Baratheo shared his experience regarding his determination to be ever mindful. In the early days of his cultivation, after 2 weeks of continuous mindfulness training with intention to be ever mindful, the awareness came. He had a very good religious routine covering continuous daily mindfulness of all movement, action and activity throughout the day, from the moment he woke up to the moment he sleep at night. Later on, even when his body goes into the sleeping mode, he was still able to maintain clear awareness of his mundane mind's subconscious and unconscious mental releases. Do you off the mic? Off the mic, huh? Push it down all the way, huh? Okay, push it down all the way. Okay, thank you. He was fully aware throughout the night until upon waking up from the sleep the next morning, and he was aware of the same last thought arising just before he wake up, as if he didn't really sleep. Then I say yes, it was as if he never slept throughout the night, as his awareness was very clear and stable all the while. This is the continuous mindfulness one needs to develop. That's why Baratheo said the third support, which is continuous 24-hour mindfulness, is possible. There is a slight difference in the Four Noble Truths stated. Oh, this one is regarding the Theravada tradition and the Mahayana tradition. In the Theravada tradition, the first noble truth is dukkha, or unsatisfactoriness. The second noble truth is samudaya, the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving. Then the third noble truth is nirodha, cessation of form and mind. Then the fourth noble truth is marga, which is the path, noble eightfold path. Whereas in the Mahayana, the second noble truth is not the cause of suffering, is craving, but they change it to accumulation through memory is the cause of suffering. That's why in Mahayana they say ku ji mie dao. Second noble truth is ji, accumulation, cause of suffering. The Theravada is dukkha samudaya. Samudaya is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of arising or suffering. So this is the main difference. So for those who understand, the accumulation of one's fear, phobia, scars of memory, insecurity, anxiety, and all the other psychological memories are the cause of suffering. We are all this. When you reflect, contemplate, and you inquire, you will understand. All our scars of memory, our phobia, our fear, insecurity, anxiety, we accumulate them in our memory. So this is the one that caused the thought to arise. Your thought is response to memory. So you accumulate all this psychological memory. When you have phobia, the thought and they recall, you will have fear. That fear will condition and make you full of worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and all those related emotions. Leading to depression. So those who experience depression will understand this, because they have strong tendency towards these accumulated mind states, which are all wrong thoughts, that condition their suffering and misery, leading to their depression and suicidal thought. So this one is all related. The human being crave for security, leading to a sense of insecurity. This insecurity is inherent in human beings. Insecurity breeds fear, fear of being born, leading to old age, sickness and death, fear of death, fear of losing our job, fear of failure, fear of danger, fear of losing our loved ones and wealth, separation, etc. But with Dhamma in the heart, you just need to have total trust in the Dhamma, trust your nature, especially your karmic nature, to take care of you and your life. Meditate and develop the understanding of life, especially what the form and mind is. With Dhamma, you will know who are you, what are you. And you will also understand all the nature's law that governs life and existence. With this, you will understand life and you are able to live life well. That is how to develop the understanding. How to develop the understanding to live a good and successful life. Not only success in the materialistic aspect of life, but also in the spiritual aspect of life, which is most important. With spiritual understanding of the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Path, life becomes beautiful and meaningful. Then life is also wonderful and complete. When you continuously cultivate the true Dhamma, you will have understanding, love, joy, faith and gratitude towards the Triple Gem, your teacher, your other guides and fellow Kayanamitas. You will also develop all virtue and wholesomeness. You will be able to live a very good and rather meaningful life of joy, peace, tranquility and happiness. No more suffering and no more problems and worry. This is wisdom leading to liberation of mind. On the other hand, when you do not understand life, there is selfishness, emotion and arrogance in the mind. Everything that you do is for self-benefit only. This unwholesome act filled with delusion will only create more evil thoughts, further suffering and misery when you cannot get what you want or wish for. Evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion is inherent within the deluded mundane mind. Out of fear, more negative karma is being created. This karmic friction causes you to be afflicted and suffer, not able to have peace and joy in life. It is important to understand that the doing well in meditation is always by the thought. And when the thoughts are active, there is no real meditation. Without thought, there is only this pure awareness. So no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Instead, there is only peace, tranquility, joy, inner awareness, and the stillness, which is the meditative state. When you use thought, use it to arise the appropriate right thought to develop wholesomeness, virtue, kindness, respect, gratitude, and thus be a blessing to all. This wholesome mind states that you arise will propel you to be on the path to ultimate liberation. Whereas wrong thoughts have greed, hatred, and delusion born of ignorance. They only lead to afflicting negative emotion and is the total opposite of the Noble Eightfold Path practices. A Kayamita asked Brother Theo regarding the discussion on taking up jobs deemed unwholesome, means job with wrong livelihood, in their discussion group. Brother Theo advised, basing on his own understanding, the most important criteria to look at is your mental intention or chetana. Chetana is what causes karma. If your mental intention has the evil root, it will cause negativity or karma. If your intention is wholesome, example to help people, then it's okay. If it involves improper livelihood, then you have to decide whether taking up this job is conducive for your cultivation or not. Most importantly is your own understanding of the Dhamma and your ability to notice your own defilement is what matter. That's why mindfulness is very important. For example, taking vegetarian. Some say being vegetarian shows a more compassionate heart. Some argue that this is not necessary. Eventually, it all boils down to the level of your understanding of whether to be vegetarian or not. To what extent you are able to notice your own defilement, especially the gross one, when they arise, is most important. This immediate cultivation is essential. If even the gross defilement also you are unable to handle, then there is not much meaning to go to that level of compassion as going vegetarian. Always understand the mental intention behind all that you do. It is not one size fits all, and you must act with understanding. Never violate the nature's law of karma or certain important society's law, as they can lead to negative karmic consequence. Acting just to impress others that you are outwardly more compassionate or spiritual is of not much value, because this is form Dhamma, not mind Dhamma. It's like at the form level you try to be holy spiritual. And most of these people cultivate form Dhamma because they scared people comment on their behavior. But inwardly at the mind, they cannot control, or they have no means of developing the sense restraint and understanding. But they are not scared, you know why? Because the mind, mental energy, people cannot see, cannot know. So if you cultivate or practice form Dhamma, which outward Dhamma, which is not inward Dhamma, no use. That's why you must be mindful to see your mental intention. That one is real cultivation. So mind Dhamma is more important. When you can see clearly the mind, you will understand. Then number 17, The Buddha's teaching of keeping precept is for training the mind in mindfulness. For example, the first precept, I undertake the training rule to refrain from taking life of any living creature, is for you to develop your mindfulness and take this precept seriously, because it is a training rule. And you have to exercise sense restraint. You can also further investigate into it, put it to test, and establish a deep understanding as to why this precept is being introduced by the Buddha. You can inquire who killed, what type of person will violate this first precept. A selfish person, a deluded person, and a violent person who has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. This implies the breaking of this precept leads to major evil karmic consequence following Dhammapada verse 1. So, once the evil roots are there, that action will bring about evil karmic consequence. So you check all the five precepts that the Buddha recommended or prescribed. They have the evil roots. That's why these are very major evil actions or speech that you have to abide by, where you cannot violate. Then point number 18. When you can keep precepts well and are ever mindful in your daily life, you will have a deeper understanding of the essential Dhamma, and thus you will have wisdom to choose the right job with the right livelihood. In the case of working as a sales personnel for a Sport Toto outlet, as per your group's discussion, My personal advice is no problem, because it's a legal entity approved by the government and it's a proper listed company. But please don't quote me unless you have the understanding, because this topic can be very sensitive. A lot of people, they tend to be more Buddhist than the real Buddhist. They have this one-track mind, you know. Gambling is no good. Getting involved with all this business that deal with gambling, therefore is also no good. And they are very strong in their views and opinion of this. They are just the way they are, understand? So you have to accept them for what they are. But when you cultivate, your mind is different. What's wrong with earning a proper living, yeah, by becoming a sales personnel for a Sport Toto outlet or a Magnum or Big Swift outlet? Why you going to create the thought until you have remorse and all those things? Just because people say that is the pitfall of most cultivators. They go and project their thought. Then they go and think that way because they are conditioned by what people tell them. They don't have the ability to investigate into all this themselves. They just believe. That's why they have problem. Then they panic very fast. Like the day the lady, you remember? She said 3 months into that job, pest control, she quit. Actually, you have to look at the thing objectively with understanding. If they hire somebody to station at the outlet to key in the computer, collect the whatever betting, then pay back the thing, then if you are having this understanding, you don't have to worry. You can still exercise Noble Eightfold Path, friendly to people. Which people? How are you today? Then if they try to like bet way beyond their ability or what they can afford, then you can sometimes see how the condition is. If you want to advise them, you can, but please don't be too capable. Otherwise they will tell you. You can maybe advise them in this way. If you really have the what they call good luck or the understanding, if it's meant to be, it will be. So you buy lucky pick 2 ringgit also, you can strike it big. You don't have to buy until it disrupts your cash flow. So a lot of these things you can maybe through your own experience in life you can suggest to them. Like last time how my father sold the lottery ticket, I told you as a salesman. He only sell I think less than 5. It came out 2nd prize that time in Singapore. Then my father-in-law and mother-in-law, they only bought 2. One of them strike 1st prize. See? If it's yours, it will be yours. You don't have to bet so heavily until it leads to financial problem and other things, don't it? But most people who buy this lucky pick or what, they can afford, understand? Because it's legal. Then when you strike, you don't have headache and so you know the prize money will be there. But you buy illegal one. Sometimes they say you strike too big. You cannot find him. Then by the time you locate him, he say my boss run already. So what can you do? So a lot of this thing, that's why legal and illegal have big difference. Don't be greedy for the slightly higher payout and go and buy illegal. Then recently, I think the government tried to do something. On the radio, Fei Fa Mai Zi. You understand Mandarin? Buy illegal, betting. He said it's a crime. The buyer also crime, seller also crime. So this is to create awareness. Crime is what? If they catch you, they can actually charge you. So in that sense, society's law, sometimes you need to abide. But in this case, you have peace of mind because it's a legal entity. Someone listed and they do a lot of charity. Okay, I read on. In this particular case, your mental intention is sincere and simple. Because it's an honorable sales job with an established company of legal status. Sport Toto has also done a lot of wholesome corporate social responsibility and activity. If after taking up the job, then you think a wrong thought which makes you remorseful, then you are creating your own unnecessary mental suffering, worry, anxiety, etc. via your own wrong thought. So this is really delusion. So just now I want to explain this is because a lot of people fail to understand what precepts are. Actually, precept is to help you in your training of your mindfulness, in your cultivation. That's why the Buddha phrased it this way, I undertake the training rule. See? When you keep precept, you are actually training yourself in what? In mindfulness. In reminding you what are the things that you cannot do. You have to exercise sense restraint. Because these are the precepts or the things if you do will lead to karmic negativity, will cause your karmic nature to fall, will condition the negativity of karma. And this will be very, very detrimental to your life. So this understanding is very important. I take this precept through understanding. Means what? A lot of people don't understand. Do you know they complain? No? Especially the precept on lying. It's very difficult to keep up, right? I'm a salesman. They have to do sales. Then sometimes they say, this type of precept, drink a little bit also cannot. Mark how fun is it? Social drinking also cannot. Everything also cannot. It's as if what? The Buddha forced you to keep. You never reflect, you never contemplate. Actually, the Buddha, out of compassion and love for you, advise you not to break them. You somehow complain, ma kao fan. So many things to keep. Which means you are really deluded. You don't really look at the real meaning of precepts. So a lot of people, after they hear what people say, oh, cannot kill, cannot drink, they go to the extent, created a lot of problems. No? There was one lady, many years ago, not recently, she came to the class. Then she reported about eating, ordering that fish, live fish. It involved the in-law. Yeah, the in-law liked to eat fresh, live fish. Then he said she got problem every time, need to order for them. And when she order for them, she get into big trouble. So I asked her a very simple question. Before you know the Buddhist teaching, have you ordered the freshwater fish? Have you ordered yao se yu an na? She laughed. She said, yeah. But after I know, I never do it. I say, what will happen if your father-in-law, your mother-in-law want to eat, and you refuse to order them? You get bigger problem. Then I say, you have to understand. Because it's not like if you order, It's just like the pest control situation, you understand? There are people who are in that profession willing to do that job. You seek their advice, you pay the fees, then they will do it for you. So in that sense, the karmic is not a direct with the mental intention and ignorant delusion with the evil root. You go and arise it and do it. So in this case, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, they like this, but you are not in position to lecture them, understand or not? Because they are so much older than you. They will come and tell you, I eat salt more than you eat rice. You want to teach me. You want to, like, not reprimand. It's like, you try to educate them, or try to teach them how to manage their life. So they may not like it, unless there is condition, understand? So what normally they can do is, if they want to eat, you know, they like, no problem, just order. They want fresh one. And there's a fresh one got two meanings there. Still fresh. Then the other one is, of course, the live one. Eh? But as long as the restaurant people, they know, because they are in this livelihood, they will do it for you. But it doesn't mean that you order, you eat, then you will be in big trouble. No, before you know the Buddhist teaching, you also eat. What wrong? What went wrong? You take the karma, understand? But it's very minor, because it's, you don't have intention to kill, understand? Then when you have the cultivation, you will also know. But that one don't try. That one only for cultivator. You know, it's just a form of mind. Understand? Not? No reality. Not what you think. Yeah. But whatever that lead to suffering, that is coming. So the person who do it will have that coming. Yeah. But the understanding is very important. Like for my case, it's different because I have a vow. I vow to take all these beings along. Those who appear as food for my form and mind whenever this nature arises. So because of that, I do take them. Yeah. But I don't purposely order them. Yeah. But it depends on the situation. If you got friends, colleague, or classmate, or what, who really have this type of liking, you have to understand, because they come together. And if they want to order, let them order. Don't create a scene out of it, understand? Hey, I bought this, no. How can you order this? Then how? The whole mood of that gathering is gone, understand? No? Then next time, do you know, when they get together, they will not call you, understand? Don't call that guy. That guy very religious one, very spiritual one. All the mood also gone. So we have to understand, society is different. People are different. So, Noble Eightfold Path is about right speech, right thought, right action, and right understanding. That brings about harmony. That brings about love. Avoid misunderstanding. Avoid conflict. Avoid all the wrong speeches and all those things. So when you develop this understanding, then you act differently. You can echo and flow. The worst is take that karma. Understand? And it's not that serious. Like I say, somebody has this livelihood that they choose, they will do it for you. So you order doesn't mean indirectly, like implicate a lot of things. If indirectly you can implicate a lot of things, then a lot of things is going to be very wrong, understand not? Because you look at the world, our economic world. How did these people become wealthy and how did these people become poor? And there are so many poor people, suffering people. How many can you help? These are all the what they call conditioned world within the existential world. The condition that leads to all these happenings. So if you want to say because of all this, means the reason why there is so much war and all those things, you are also partly to be blamed. You can follow or not? Because they say you elected the government. You can go and argue, no, I didn't elect, I chose opposition. But still, they are the government. And you are part of the collective consciousness. So a lot of things in Dhamma, you cannot develop that type of very narrow view. Just because it links, it connects, then you cannot. Then you start to have remorse, you blame yourself. It's just like your parents. Because you are too busy with your career, your life, then you tend to neglect them. But later on, after they die, then only your thought come back, oh, I should have spent more time with them. Then you start to blame yourself, curse yourself, having this remorse and all those things. And a lot of people suffer because of that. This is not Dhamma. Dhamma means when that moment, the condition is there for you to do, you don't have the understanding, you will not do. So that's it. That's the reality. Then whatever that is past is already past. You cannot change them. Understand? You have to accept that reality and move on. Then whatever you want to do, you do it now. Yeah. So after you order already, you can radiate your love and metta towards the fish. Now that's what I did. You see? In whatever rhyme or existence you may be, may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with you. May you be well and happy. May you be blessed with a good afterlife. Because the condition is there. Understand? But you have good mind state. Understand? You do what you have to do. Instead of, wow, worrying down there, remorseful. Ayo, why I come with these people? They order this, they do this. You also lost your mood. You can't even be part of the gathering, the classmate and all those things. And if it's your in-law, worse still, you find it like very difficult to get along with them. That every time they come, you panic already. They are going to order live fish again. That thought keep on lingering in your brain. Then you will go and call your husband. Hey, come with me. You order, I don't want to order. You create one. Like you push the karma to your husband. Then if he argue with you, he say, your parent, no, not my parent. This is not Dhamma. If you do all this, means you don't have understanding. You are not mindful. You don't know the real Dhamma, the understanding of the true Dhamma, the purpose of precepts. We undertake the training rule to abstain. That's why the Buddha used the word abstain. Abstain means what? Try your very best not to do. But it doesn't mean you do, that is the end of your life. No. Before you know the Dhamma, you kill a lot of things. Mosquito you kill before. No? Huh? Someone smash and you're very happy. Pow! Sometimes miss. The hand also very painful, but miss the mosquito. But later on when you have the mindfulness awareness, you cannot. The hand movement, the awareness, you know. And the intention behind that movement, all there. The moment you are aware, it cannot move. Then there is understanding, there is love, there is true compassion. And you can cultivate up to this level. You don't worry about ordering the fish and all the things. But don't go and quote me and say, Brother Teo, they can order, then justify. No, you can avoid trying to. But no harm, understand? Because there is this, what they call, unwritten rule. I say unwritten rule. You know why? Because I got one teacher, he told me. It seems long time ago, he said. Long, long time ago. I don't know how he know, I also don't know. It's a long, long time ago. In certain civilization, they have come to an understanding. Certain type of animals or certain type of fishes or whatever can be like taken as food. Yeah. So it is like unwritten rule, understand? That's why they. But these are the people who have the understanding, understand? Because these are just from my mind, not what you think. That is the unconditioned understanding. Yeah. That's why to them, they know. I didn't kill. Because there is no being. Understand? He know you, he know me. But there is law of karma. Do you understand? Because the form and mind subject to karma. Understand? So if you have the mental intention to purposely cause suffering, then the karmic will take effect. But if you don't have the intention, because just like the pest control, people willing to do it for you, you can have their service. But if you want to move one step deeper, you tell them, is there any way to clear the pest without putting poison or killing them? That one is up to you. So out of love, compassion and understanding, if they can do it, why not? Otherwise, if they are willing to do it, let them do it. But tell them, please avoid poison. Your poison can destroy the environment too. So that part is important. Okay, I go on. The first seven I haven't done. The first six, I read to you number seven only. So point number one, where do you went through the last Thursday's outline, Sean? No? Point number two, Bertio reminded Kayalamita that the silent mind is the true mind and is also the meditative mind. You just need to relax, aware, and maintain awareness for as long as possible and trust your nature to do the meditation. Don't use your thinking mind to try to know. That's like the key to meditation. Don't try to know. When you are inside the meditative state, don't try to know. But when you come out to contemplate, reflect, it's okay. But when you are inside, don't try. The trying is by the thought. The thought will become active again. And you cannot silence your mind. Don't use your thinking mind to try to know. Even when thought arise, you just let everything be. Any sense or contact of mind, just be aware. Otherwise, upon contact, ignorance will condition the dwelling, dependent origination, and the chain of sankhara, thinking activity, will follow suit. Means proliferation of thought. It is important to train the mind until the mind enters sati, then stabilize it to realize sparsity by not trying to know while in meditation. When you are out of the meditation or out from meditation, you can use the stability of mindfulness to cultivate the daily mindfulness and to develop the first and second turning wisdom of Suttamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya, leading to the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. When you want to enter the meditative state, or when you want to develop the calmness and the peace, that one thing is actually a craving within your mind. That's why the desire, the one thing. Then number six, where do you advise Kayamita to have strong faith and to determine to be ever mindful? This determination is essential for the cultivation of the daily mindfulness and the initial wisdom. To be constantly meditative and ever mindful in the midst of our daily activity is vital, as heedfulness is the path to the deathless. And the heedful never die. So these are the last Thursday's outline short notes, which is very useful. So regarding Angie's question, I think now you should know you have improved. But when your daily mindfulness become very stable, the understanding is different again. And your mind will start to become very different after it has the understanding. That's why the initial wisdom is very important. Without mindfulness, you cannot see, you cannot understand. But once the daily mindfulness comes in, then it's less of the knowledge level. Now what you are going through is you are partly more sensitive because you know this is part of the cultivation. You have to be aware of all these things. Means you have this inner awareness more and more. Means you are more careful with what is going on in life. And that itself is some form of awareness or attention. Then this one will develop into more and more of the first and second turning wisdom. First and second turning wisdom is when you listen to truth, the Dhamma, then you reflect, you contemplate, then you relate it to the Dhamma. But this one is more at the contemplative level, reflection level. It also helps because it will start to prepare the base for you to later receive the truth that will be very penetrative, that will lead to awakening. So initially you need to do this reflection, contemplation. Then you need to be like more aware, more attentive. So this process will be there. You will have to go through it first. But later on, as your mindfulness becomes more and more stable, then you will realize what you have been doing earlier on is still not the real one. When the real one surfaces, it's totally different. No more like before. You just understand. The awareness inside, very sensitive. Then that time, no need to say keep precept or what. Your mind is so sensitive. The slightest like and dislike, before it even arises, you feel it now. It's going to stir already. Going to do that. Then because you have reflected enough, contemplated enough, then you know no point. What for? This is all leading to defilement. Mental hindrance. It's going to make me heedless. And then slowly, slowly, you develop the ability to exercise sense restraint. You no longer still react and create all this habitual tendency. No more. Then you realize you are more and more calm, more and more peaceful, more and more aware. You are more and more within the moment. Then the space between thoughts starts to lengthen. Then your mindfulness starts to be more and more, less and less thinking, less and less heedlessness. Because avijja paccaya sankhara, that link, you have to weaken it, avijja. As you straighten your view, as you develop more and more understanding of the essential Dhamma, this avijja will be attenuated or weakened. Then when it's weakened, that link to conditioned thinking, sankhara activity will become weaker too. That's why you will have less and less sankhara, less and less thinking, less and less proliferation of thought. Then you become more and more mindful, more and more aware. That's how you progress. If you don't straighten your view, you can't. The other one is the conditioned state. They go into concentration, absorption. One point another, they become very calm. But if you go into this conditioned state, your mental hindrances are all suppressed. They cannot surface. Understand? So you cannot root them out. You cannot put them to test also. You may think that you are already there. But in actual fact, they are not able to surface because of your energy, your calm state of mind. I call that the conditioned mind. That's why those who do samatha, concentration, absorption, one-pointedness, energy field, meditation. That one is a conditioned state, not a free mind. To really awaken, you must release it out and return to the free mind state. Then use that free mind state to develop awareness, mindfulness, to understand the essential Dhamma. When you are in that free mind state, the mental hindrance, they are not suppressed. They are there. That's why you can test yourself. So initially you will come to realize in the free mind state, it's like the defilements are all there. The mental hindrances are all there. It can still react very fast, especially when it has become a habitual tendency. It's throughout the day you have been stirring your mind all the time, creating mental hindrances of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Then the fear, worry, anxiety. All these are heedless thinking, mental defilements. And this one, you cannot do anything to them if you don't have wisdom. And you tend to have this emotion very strong in you. The slightest condition erupts already. That's why the Buddha called it anusaya, latent tendency. That tendency which is very latent inside there. Then the other one is asava. You know what is asava? Asava means waiting to shoot out on it, like everything bottled up already. Understand? Bottled up already, waiting to pop and just shoot. So this asava is very powerful. When the asava want to come out, it don't wait for you, and it just come out. Even latent tendency also, they are very fast. That's why they have this Pali word, asava, anusaya, the other one is kilesa. Kilesa is defilement. So these are the three Pali words, and they are different intensity of defilements. So if you don't have the daily mindfulness, the understanding, you cannot deal with these defilements. Especially anusaya and asava. So daily mindfulness is very important. Daily mindfulness, constantly listening to the Dhamma. That's like Avijja Sutta. First is to have Dhamma friend. Then second step is opportune time to listen to true Dhamma. And that listening to true Dhamma is very important. Through that listening, you can develop the initial wisdom. Through hearing the Dhamma, then reflection, contemplation, inquiry, and putting it to test. So the initial wisdom born of first and second turning, which is Suttamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya, is very useful. Very, very important. And when you put them to test, investigate on them, then it stand up to investigation. Step 3, your faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, in his teaching become very strong, unshakable. Then once step 3 and step 4 is there, you are home. Your daily mindfulness will come. That's why the next step is daily mindfulness. Then after that, when your daily mindfulness is established, sati, sampajana, means with clear comprehension, the sense restraint will be there, step number 6. And step number 7 is also like a natural consequence. It will arise naturally. And once you have sense restraint, then you can arise the 3 way of right conduct. No more problem. The 3 way of right conduct will be there. By then you are at least a sotapan. And chances are you could be a sakadagami too, if you have cultivated appropriately. Then after that, the 8th step, you can go and cultivate 4 foundation of mindfulness. By the time you have sense restraint and the 3 way of right conduct, your daily mindfulness is very stable. the four foundation of mindfulness is very easy. You will breeze through it. Then you will start to witness the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising in you. Oh, how come the factor of enlightenment is all there? Oh, your sati is so stable. Then you can investigate Dhamma very clearly. So these are the first two enlightenment factors. Then you realize your virya is there, because after you move up to step 7, you will have a lot of investigative understanding. Then your virya is very strong. That's why it will push you to cultivate. Then you will experience piti, which is the fourth enlightenment factor. Then the piti, you know how to meditate. When you do the Satipatthana Sutta, when you can trace the origination factor, retrospectively reverse it, your wisdom become more and more penetrative. Then when you are able to have this very stable daily mindfulness to do Vedana Nupassana and Chitta Nupassana, leading to Dhamma Nupassana, the penetrative wisdom will arise. Then your seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Means you initially develop the ability to go into Pasati. Pasati is the fifth enlightenment factor. Pasati is the silent mind, tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, your meditative mind. That's how you will know how to relax, silent your mind, and maintain awareness. Until the mind enters sati, and you develop the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. And that is Pasati. And when the Pasati enlightenment factor is there, as you stabilize it, it becomes Samadhi in the midst of daily life. So when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. That's how wisdom arises. Then when wisdom arises, you will have the last factor of enlightenment called upeka, equanimity of mind, born of wisdom, no longer born of a concentrated mind or conditioned state. So this seven factor enlightenment, when they keep on arising, you will know you are on the right path. Means you are safe. And the natural consequence of it is enlightenment in the here and the now. That's why after you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha guarantee you, you will realize the enlightenment, which is at least an anagami. When you still have some minor avijja or minor delusion. The last five factors actually. But these last five factors, they are very easy to overcome if you don't attach to samatha meditation or form and formless jhana. If you attach to that, then it will take you a while. That's why the Buddha say very clearly towards the end of the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness cultivate, you will realize at least anagami, if not arahantship. So this is how the cultivation need to be understood. Daily mindfulness is a must. It's very important. Without that, there is no way. I realize there is no way. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the opening statement, the Buddha make it very clear. Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. Ekayano means this is the only way, bhikkhu, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the realization of enlightenment. The other one also he mentioned, leading to the right path. For the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, this is the only way. Cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. And this one is very clearly stated by the Buddha in the opening statement of the Satipatthana Sutta. That's why without the daily mindfulness, whatever jhana you have, I wish you well. Because the Buddha himself also got trapped. The first two teachers taught him the jhana. Then they say, we are now same. We are all equal. They invite him to sit side by side to teach. The Buddha say, no. I still searching. What I want to realize is not this. Because this one will still lead to affliction, finally. It cannot solve his problem. You know what his problem is, isn't it? When he saw the four signs, he left the palace. He said he has a problem because this body is going to grow old, get sick and tired. He got no solution to this tree. He said, after going for all the jhana, everything, so what? Finally, this one has to go the way of nature, get sick, get old, and die. My problem not solved. That's why he continued to strive on, meditate, until finally, underneath the Bodhi tree, when the condition arises, he suddenly connect back to his spiritual nature. Then he realized that all along, the problem was never there. All along, it's because of his own ignorance. Because he failed to understand that this five degree of forming mind is not him. This one is karmically conditioned out, a vehicle and a tool for him to come. That's why the moment he realized that, he smiled. And his mind is liberated and he is free. Because he came to the realization that there is another nature, which is the eternal nature, the unconditioned. That's why to escape from the conditioned world, there must be the unconditioned. That's why when he went into Nibbana, when he go into the cessation, when he realized that Nibbana experience, or when he goes through that cessation to realize Nibbana, that is the unconditioned that let him have the understanding that he is free, no longer deluded. That's why from that day onward, he tell the world the famous four stanza, remember? He said, the builder of this house, I have seen you. Thy rafter and rich pole has been shattered. You know how to build a roof or not? You got a rich pole at the top, then the rafter, the support. So he said, that one shattered, you shall build no more house. That's why he said, no more birth, no more house. I think it's in our chanting book, isn't it? Pesha? Oh yeah, page 11. Maybe we read through it. This one is very interesting. Anika jati samsarang. Engbi not here. Engbi is Pali better. Anika jati samsarang. Sandavisam anibisang. Gaha karakang. Gave sangto. Dukha jati puna punam. Gaha karaka ditose. Punya gehang nakahase. Sabbe te pasoka bhaga. Gaha kutang visang kitang. Visang karang gatang citang. Tanghanang kaya maja kati. The pigeon of joy, the translation. This one is very interesting. He said, through many above, I wander in samsara, endless cycle of birth and death, seeking but not finding the house builder or the builder of this house. Sorrowful is repeated birth. O house builder, you are seen. You shall build no house again. All your rafter are broken, your rich pole shattered. My mind has attained the unconditioned. Achieved is the end of craving or suffering. So this is how he break free. Through what? through understanding this form and mind is not him. Just like that. You also can have the understanding, the wisdom. You can also awaken. In fact, I sent out two Dhammapada verse. You remember? Verse 367 and 170. They are just about the five aggregate, which you all have the understanding. Actually, you can be anagami straight away. Well, verse 170, that two couple, that the Buddha actually spoke about. After the Buddha just explained to them, what is a samana, what is a true cultivator of the way, or a true practitioner of the Dhamma. He said, just to understand that the five aggregate of form and mind is not you, not me, not I, and do not be deluded by it. Then straight away, both husband and wife become anagami. Did you all read or not? Yeah. So for those who haven't, you better go back and read. I go through it. But Ingbi reminded me. He said, if no question, should go through the Dhammapada verse. I think verse 170, Suyan has sent it out. If a man looks at the world, that is the five skandhas, or the five aggregate of form and mind, in the same way as one who look at the bubble or a mirage, the king of death will not find them. So this one, I will read to you the story. The story is about a group of monks, I think 500 of them, if I'm not wrong. So this Dhammapada verse 170, Pancha Satavi Pasaka Bhikkhu. Vatu. So verse 170, just like what I read just now. If a man look at the world, that is the five aggregates of form and mind, in the same way as one look at the bubble or a mirage, the king of death will not find him. The story of five hundred bhikkhus, while reciting in the Jetavana monastery, the Buddha uttered verse 170, Dhammapada verse 170, with reference to this 500 bhikkhu. On one occasion, the 500 bhikkhu, after taking a subject of meditation from the Buddha, went into the forest to practice meditation. But they make very little progress, so they returned to the Buddha to ask for more suitable object of meditation, or subject of meditation, should be object. On their way to the Buddha, seeing a mirage, they meditated on it. As soon as they entered the compound of the monastery, a storm broke out. As big drops of rain fell, bubbles were formed on the ground and soon disappeared. Seeing those bubbles, the bhikkhu reflected, this body of ours is perishable like the bubble, and perceived the impermanent nature of these five aggregates of form and mind. The Buddha saw them from his perfume chamber and sent forth the radiance and appearance in their vision. Then the Buddha spoke this verse. At the end of the discourse, those 500 bhikkhu attain arahantship, just like that. Because they saw the mirage, they meditate. Then after they meditate, they reached the monastery. There was a very heavy downpour. Yeah. Have you seen or not the very heavy downpour? Yeah. I have seen it before I read this verse. When I was young, I like to stand in my house. We all got one air well one. You remember? There's one air well. They call Tin Zhang. Tin Zhang. When it pour very heavy, you can hear, because at that house with the zinc sheet, yang pan, very loud one. That's why no need to have anybody telling you it's raining, the sign will come on. Then I like to see the very heavy rain striking on my teacher. There is a cement rented space. It's about, I think, 10 feet by 10 feet on it. Then the bubble, just like what the Buddha mentioned, the bubble, I like to see that one disappearing, you know, oh, very fast. And when I meditate, my nimitta also move very fast. That's why I can see all this impermanent very clearly. Then all of a sudden, when I learned the Dhamma, then I realized, I reflected back, that's what I saw. That's why when I was young, I was very amazed. When I was sitting alone, then sometime in the Babinder Court, open air one at the time, nobody there. But I like to go there and sit alone. Then there are plants, there are trees around. Then my mind suddenly, very funny, I can like see the flow and the movement of this plant, the leaf, the branches, all this movement. Then inside me, that time I was very young, I think 12 years old or 14 years old, around those age. Then inside, like tell me, this is very important. This is something you have done before. And I didn't know that was specific phenomenal awareness. No, at that time, I didn't know. That's why I feel strange. No? I can see those movements, the sway and all those things. Then every time I look at things, I realize I have the ability to see things. Of course, not see non-human. That one I cannot. Not supposed to see also. And I can never see all those things because I never touch all these things on psychic. So because of that, later on when I grew up, then when I developed the understanding of the Dhamma, then I reflect back, everything connects through. That's why it will show it to you. As you arise, all this, whatever you have cultivated before in the past, they will come back to you. And you can understand them later. That's why even the out-of-the-body experience that I told you is meant to be for me to see when I was very young so that I can understand what this thing is. Then everything falls back into place. That's why later on when I started to develop the interest in finding out the truth. After Form 4, when I know science and maths, then I'm exposed to science, understanding the universe and all those things. Of course, they have this Big Bang theory and all those things. Then what amazed me was the sky. I like to sit in the open air, in the field or whatever, then open sky up there. Then I lie down. Then somehow I just reflect, contemplate, look at all the stars inside, probe, very amazed. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing here in this vast universe? And I knew I am just one speck of that time. I don't call it dust, because the dust is the Mahayana Sutta. It's like, you are only one of the miserable human beings out of the 5-6 billion on this planet Earth. And planet Earth is just the third planet from our solar system, the sun. But every star up there is a potential sun or bigger. So who am I? What am I? I'm so insignificant. One of the 5-6 billion human beings. And our planet is only one of the third planet of one miserable star. And up there, countless stars. That's why I probe, I ask, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? And suddenly inside the answer come out. You have to meditate to understand. Oh, and that time I don't know what is meditation also. Then straight away it's like the faith very strong. Yeah, must meditate to understand. I didn't know what is meditation until I came to the university. Means 3 years later, 1975. That time when I was in Form 4, I think it was 1970, 71. That time I was probing. Then after Form 5, nothing to do, school holiday, a few months. Went to all the temple, the various temple of all the religion. I remember I got one classmate. The father is a Buddhist, quite an authority. Yeah, he got a Tipitaka. At that time, I don't even know what is Tipitaka. He brought this thick book, the three volume of Tipitaka. He go and confront one of my chemistry teacher, Hua Yong. Hua Yong is a pastor. He's a Christian. But he's a very good teacher. He's a very good teacher. So he's very cheerful and smile a lot and very, very nice character. Then these people know that he's a Christian. They go and supposed to ask him question, this guy end up in argument. No? You know, that guy, the father of Buddhist, authority in Buddhism, took the Tipitaka there, put on the table and discuss with him. That time I didn't even know what is Tipitaka. But I enjoyed the discussion because I want to know what is going on in the world and who am I, what am I. Then on one side I heard God. God is almighty and all. Then on the other side, I heard this Buddhist teaching, but I don't know what this Buddhist teaching. Yeah, he also don't know. He got the Tipitaka, but he cannot explain what the Tipitaka is. He only say the Buddha is a fully enlightened one. And all those things. So end up, no answer. You know what he did after that? We decide to go to all the other places of religious interest. Yeah. We visited even not only the you call it the churches. We went to the churches. We went to the mosques. Then we went to even this Baha'i group. Yeah. The only place we didn't go is the Chinese temple. I don't know why. At that time I saw my mother came bargain on. I said, if this is Buddhism, never mind. Forget about it. I saw my mother make offering. Then negotiate on. You help protect my children, my family, make them pass exam, everything. I will make offering to you. And one offering, slaughter chicken. And put all those things there. So I saw my mother doing all those things. Then he also like to go to those dainty, to go and ask for. Sometimes they got medium and all those things. But one thing I respect my mother is she really has faith in Kuan Yin. She always bring me to this Kuan Yin Miao, Kuan Yin Temple. And I had a lot of joy when I went in. I don't know why. I cannot even pay respect. He asked me to Zhong Hiong, I cannot do one. But when I saw Kuan Yin, I went down on my knee. Then when I saw the Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Pusian, Wen Su, and Sakyamuni, or Amitabha, I went down and just pay my respect. I don't know why. That time I was very young. But all those dainties and all those things that he asked me to Zhong Hiong, I cannot. Out of respect for her, I count 1 to 10, then I put the joystick down. I still remember. Then, Cho Gao, you remember? Cho Gao? Pai Thi Gong. Also same, he gathered all of us to Pai Thi Gong. Because she is my mom. So I have to show some respect. So I will tell her, okay. Then I will go and get the joystick, like it. Then again, I count 1 to 10. I go and Zhong Hiong. That's what I did, because I don't know why I can't do all those things to all those dainties. Cannot. Then later on, when I had the understanding of the Dhamma, then only I realized, oh, no wonder, since young, you will know what to do. what can do and what cannot do. Funny, nobody taught me. And there is nothing to condition me to do or not to do. It's just the inner nature knows. When it comes to Kuan Yin, very strong faith. Huh? Very strong faith. And I remember I reflected and contemplated. Then I start to understand how Kuan Yin's nature manifests. Yeah. The first question that as a science student asks is what? No. Kuan Yin really so powerful. Can she be everywhere? Well, the whole world is full of beings asking for help from Kuan Yin. You understand? No? How can she be everywhere? You understand? No? So there was one trip when I remember I went up Cameron Highland. Cameron Highland. After the short retreat, I think, on the way down, I reflected. Then suddenly inside tell me what? No? It is not a being. It is her nature. And her nature with the vow that is so powerful because of her great wisdom and virtue, the vow has become part of nature's law. You understand? That's why he vowed. Whoever who sincerely call out her name or for her or chant Om Pemi Memi Hom or Namo Kansing Pusa or chant the Hasutta or thing, she vowed to help. There will be a response and all those things. That's why all this tie up. Then I realized, yeah, if it's part of nature's law, she don't have to be around, understand? Not? Her nature is everywhere. That's why that understanding was very powerful. And nobody taught me that. But suddenly from inside, he understand. Okay, I heard the alarm. We better end. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Then after that, we will invoke the power of merits for whatever aspiration. Then also, we chant the blessing for our nation. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana ita wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatkalena sasa sampati hetu cha. Fito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem.
Father who birthed him and Sister Pamasuri for inviting us to their home to listen to the wonderful Bhagavad
Gita. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
Brother Chinao for doing the video.
Yeah.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
The video recording, huh?
Thank you.